There it is.
All right, well, drop it on me. Yeah. This is the Capital City Podcast. I'm your host, Capital J, alongside my main man,
DL Glass.
And this week, we're talking about battling.
Battle?
Battling.
I mean, like fighting.
Nah. Rapping and DJing and whatnot.
Okay, okay.
Now, we always start in the beginning. And back in the day, the early days of hip-hop, if you wanted to participate, you had to always be ready to battle.
Right.
I don't care if it's popping and locking.
Everything.
Getting on the floor. Yeah. DJing, rapping. You always had to be ready to battle.
Competition.
It was extremely competitive.
Right.
So we'll go back to the beginning. You know, back in the day, you know, they always credit Kool Herc with jumping this thing off with a block party. But all the way through the 70s, people were coming at Kool Herc. You see what I'm saying? Other right. DJs, like, yo. And back then, it wasn't so much about your cutting and scratching skills as your music selection and your sound system.
Oh, okay.
Quality of your sound system and your music selection. Can you play the right stuff? Is what I'm playing better than what he's playing? And is my system louder than his system?
So it was a lot of PA speakers, PA system speakers.
Right, right. They'll pile them up out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they have one dude on one side of the basketball court, another dude on the other side.
See who's
and
sound. They
back and forth. But this is the early days of hip-hop battles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, of course, you had your dancers out there battling, too.
Right.
You know, the MCs that were battling, you know, one MC with one DJ, one MC with the other DJ. You know, they hurl a few insults at each other along the way.
Right.
But battling as we know it,
mm-hmm.
rapping, you know what I'm saying? This thing turned into something else as we got around, you know, 80, 81,
mm-hmm.
where they started getting more organized with it.
Right.
And I say one of the earliest ones that really made some noise, you know, Busy B was like the king of MCs before people knew that this stuff was going on.
Okay, okay. He was more popular.
Right, but he wasn't the type of rapper that we think about today.
What you mean?
He was a party starter, you know? He kept the party going.
Hype man.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But not just a hype man. You know, everything he said rhymed too.
Yeah, yeah,
He had the charisma and the flavor.
Right.
But Kool Moe Dee and Busy B battled it out. A lot of people say that moment was kind of like the end of how it used to be.
Because Kool Moe Dee smoked him.
Kool Moe Dee was finna happen.
Right.
And Busy B was what used to happen.
What used to, right.
You know, but the same thing happened to Kool Moe Dee later.
Absolutely.
You know, but also I remember they used to have this was it the New Music Seminar, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
And they would have a rap battle there every year. It's kind of like a convention get together for all the people involved mm-hmm. back then.
Right.
New Music Seminar. So it's a place where new hip hop artists could get their shine on. They would have a rap battle.
Okay. Okay.
And I actually heard the one, I heard one year, it might have been 84, 85. It was Roxanne Shanté versus Busy B. That was the championship.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, Busy B was still.
She got him, though.
She got him. Like, if you, anybody who knows hip hop and loves rap, you listen to that battle, and hands down, Shanté got him. Like, she ate him
up. Shanté was it.
She ate him up. Like, she was the queen of dissing you.
Right, right.
But Busy B was the incumbent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they say that everybody, you know, wanted it to go to Shanté, but they said Curtis Blow was the deciding vote. And he was like, he couldn't let it happen. Couldn't let
because she was
this little
female.
Girl take out
yeah.
this legendary
yes.
Busy B.
Right.
But if you go back and listen to that, it's on YouTube. You can hear it. Yeah, Shante, she got in that tail.
She was the bar.
She right. knew. And Fruquan was in that battle.
Okay.
From Stessa Sonic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, by the time Sally comes out, it's 2 years after this battle happened. So that's how long.
And he was rapping too.
Oh, yeah. Fruquan was dope.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Shante would take it down. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, keep showing up in the same leather pants. You know, she kill you on what you got on, just how you, you know, putting your head down.
Right.
And if you listen to Busy B, you could tell his stuff was more prepared, like something he had already written. Shante coming off the dome right here about what's happening right now.
Right.
You know, so she was a gifted MC.
Where you think she would place if she came out now?
In a rap battle?
No, just rapping.
You know, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what lane she would feel today,
mm-hmm.
or what kind of rapper she would be.
I just think she's so dope. You know,
she is one of the dopest ever, though. Like,
yeah.
She had the voice, and she had that sassiness that, you know, she was just absolutely sassy, man, perfectly sassy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the early days, was about battling. Everything was a battle.
Right.
The turntables. The DJ battle for world supremacy.
Ooh.
You know, so the DJs, you knew in hip hop who won that every year because they got a belt. And a lot of times they would display it on one of the records because most DJs were associated with a rapper. You know, if you were good, then some rapper or rap group was going to seek you out to be a part of what they're doing.
Right.
So, you know, Jazzy Jeff won it, Cash Money. You know, Philly DJs, man. Good gracious. But, you know, they battled. The dancers, we know about the New York City Breakers and Rocksteady Crew, you know, and others that battled each other constantly and other groups.
Right. And a lot of that battling in the Mecca, which is the Bronx in New York, was because they wanted to be the dopest crew or the dopest DJ or the dopest MC in the whole city in all the five boroughs.
Right.
So they would travel around and just battle each other.
And it really meant something back then.
Right.
You know, it meant something when, you know, if Kool Herc's system outplays whoever's on the other side, you know, it could be Disco King, Mario, Afrika Bambaataa, Grandmaster Flash. You know, that mentality was still going on when I got in the game.
Right.
So, which probably explains why early hip hop, you remember we talk about what the people talk about? They talk about how dope they were.
Yes.
Everything was bragging. And I was looking at a quote from Big Daddy Kane talking about the battle days. He said, well, you wrote your raps not necessarily to make a song, but just so you'll have something dope to say should somebody step to you and want to battle.
Absolutely.
If you think about Big Daddy Kane, all his rhymes from Take the First Album.
Yes.
You know, you could pull any one of those verses and he'll say that. If he says that in a group of people, somebody want to battle against Big Daddy Kane.
Right.
You know he's going to get them.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I'm the D-A-D-D-Y-K-A-N-E. Dramatic, Asiatic, unlike many. I'm different. So don't compare me to another because they mm-hmm. can't hang word to the mother.
Right.
You know, like you could see him spitting this even without music and everybody's like, oh, you know, when my pen hits the paper, oh, shit.
Right.
You know, that's battle rap type stuff. LL spit mad battle raps. Right.
Yes, I'm bad.
Right, right.
Yeah, who was he talking to?
Man, probably Kool Moe Dee.
I know.
Like I said, he went back and got it Kool Moe Dee. Kool Moe Dee won, took Bisbee out, LL take Kool Moe Dee out.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's always somebody doper on the way. But LL's whole style was a battle style. Listen to Jack the Ripper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to make hits, you make them like this. If it ain't like this, they don't hit, they miss. What? You know, that's something you tell somebody right in their face.
Yes, right, right.
Today, you know, today's rappers, they're not battle rap style raps.
No.
But
I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. they murder. We're going to war. Murder raps. That's a little bit different. But this is where it started. Like, I remember early in the game, like, as a DJ, if somebody just heard I DJ, dudes be coming out the woodwork. Mm. I remember one dude approached me, you know, he's like, yo, you know, you trying to put your turntables up?
Ooh.
So I'm like, yo, man, I can't let this. You know, I really didn't want to put my turntables up.
Right. But, he but
when I finally
out.
Said yes, yeah. I was like, all right, well, let's do it then. Then all of a sudden, you know, he didn't want to do it no more.
Right, right.
You
right.
know? But, but I guess, too, you know, he was going to, the battle was going to take place at my spot on my turntables. Right. So now he's like, nah, he ain't got my turntables over here. It ain't going to be fair and all this. I'm like, all right, whatever. But
yeah,
I was willing to go there.
In Greensboro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look, I was, he ain't robbed you for him.
Nah, I wasn't going to get robbed for my turntables that day. I'm certain of that.
Here you talk about that DJ battle. Remind me of Rough House from the movie Juice.
Hey man, that was another that was a good example of what a DJ battle looked like.
Yeah,
you know, I've been a part of DJ battles before, and you know, you put your set together.
Yeah,
go out there and do your best and hope for the best.
Right,
and even showing up to DJ a party. You know, it was a battle, almost a battle atmosphere, because, you know, people would look at you, they would demand that you show them why you deserve to be here.
Right.
Before they even respect what you're playing. You just don't walk in and just play music. And you have to demonstrate something.
And that, so the playlist DJ doesn't understand the essence of it, because I can have the vibe in my head, but if the room ain't feeling that vibe, you gotta switch it up,
right?
And read that room,
right? But back in the day, before you even do that, like, everybody was so hip hop. Like, if you can't handle yourself on the turntables, they didn't respect you enough to dance to your music.
Okay, okay,
yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Like a house party, Bilal had stinking breath, no car. But he jammed the party.
He jammed the party and he got his respect.
Yes.
But outside of the face-to-face battle rapping, what that brought us later is diss tracks.
Oh, yeah.
That's a, you know, that's the descendant of the battle rap era.
Yeah.
You know, you got to see, like, if you want to see what breaking battles look like, you can see Beat Street and on the L.A. tip. You know, you get a little bit of it in breaking.
Yes. What was the L.A. movie?
That was it,
that
Breaking?
Was Breaking.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that Hollywood.
You see how they did it?
I
you know, but
that
some
Hollywood.
Of that, you know, some of that was pretty authentic, because you did have some real, like, Shabadoo and Boogaloo Shrimp, their real names, Turbo and Ozone. You know, those dudes were, you know, they are street dancers from way before the movie came out. They didn't just pop up to be in the movie. They weren't actors. They were had history out here, and they have been through their share of battles. Ice-T was on the mic. Like, Ice-T has battled more than a few guys.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're battling, like, you can come with something written, but eventually you have to say something that's going on right now.
Right, to let them know you're
in
tune.
To let them know that you have the ability to come off the head.
Yes.
And say something
right
now. Keep everything moving.
And I could imagine that. So in the movement Breaking, we talked about it before, how choreographed and clean it was. That it was almost unbelievable. But I think that's a lot to do with us being on the East Coast and hip hop being so gritty, and in LA, California was, you know,
it's polished. It's always polished.
Yeah, you know, Hollywood is right there.
Right.
And so that bar is there.
Right. The dance scenes turn into big productions instead of, like, when you look at the club scene in Beach Street, it's not like what the club scene was in Breaking.
It looked real.
Right, it looked real.
To us.
I've been in plenty of those, too. Same thing with Breaking. Like, somebody find out you could do it. Mm-hmm. Like, dudes will walk up. I remember standing in line in the calf when I first moved to Tarboro. A dude just walk up, just all in your face, you know, waving. And, you know, I'm like, oh, Lord, here we go.
You got to break.
You got to. You got to.
Right, 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 right.
Or don't ever do it again.
Oh, yeah, because he just took it from you. It's like he walked away with your car.
He walked away with your car. You don't get to do it again if you're not willing to take on any challenge at any time. If a dude walk up and say, hey, yo, I heard you rap. Well, bust this. And he spit 16 or whatever, and you don't say nothing. Don't ever pick up the microphone again.
Right. Unless you what, Nas, when you build up your courage. And then he killed a barbecue. Live at a barbecue.
But that's real, though. So these cats, they, you know, I think that led to our early battle records, like dudes would battle face-to-face. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the diss tracks is an extension of that competition from the mid to late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
You know, when you hear, you know, KRS and the Juice Crew, for example. Well, Marley Marl and Red Alert on two different radio stations, KISS and WBLS, doing mix shows.
Right.
And KRS said he took you know, him and Scott LaRock had produced songs before they were called BDP.
Yes.
Before the Boogie Down Productions, they were, who was the group called? It sounded like a time on the clock, maybe 9:12 or something like that. I forgot their numbers, you know.
Okay.
But, you know, Marley or Mr. Magic, one of them dissed the record. They weren't going to play it. But KRS is like, hey, my man Red will play this. So in turn, he's like, oh, you know I'm going to go at these dudes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like them going to Flex.
I'm going to go at these dudes. And then you got Shan talking about hip-hop starting in Queensbridge.
Yes.
So it's time to battle.
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they go at it on wax. Mm-hmm. Back and forth. He gives Shantae some, Marley Marl some, Mr. Magic some, MC Shan.
Yeah.
And more than the rest of them, it was Shan and KRS.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he, you know, that starts the Bronx versus Brooklyn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Queens, or, you know, Bronx versus Queens, back and forth. So, you know, a lot of other people get tied up in this. But our earliest diss tracks come from that battle element that we all started with.
Right.
You know, that, like Salt and Pepper, before Tramp came out, before any of y'all really, really thought about who is Salt and Pepper, they had put a record out, dissing Dougie Fresh. It's called a Showstopper.
Okay.
And they weren't even called Salt and Pepper then. They had a whole different name.
Yeah. It was a ketchup and mustard.
Nice. I'm gonna hold up. I don't know why I can't remember their name right off my head. The Showstopper. Stupid Fresh, was that the name of the group?
Damn. He looking.
They were. Yeah, I gotta look it up. Oh, Supernature.
Supernature.
Supernature was the name of the original group.
That was before Spinderella, right?
I don't know if Spinderella was in it or not, but
And it was just Salt and Pepper.
Yep. Yeah, they were called Supernature. So they came out dissing somebody. Not only did Roxanne Shanté have to deal with KRS, JJ Fad started out dissing Roxanne Shanté.
They had to.
You know, so diss records, they were common.
Roxanne Shanté had a back and forth.
Yeah, to the break of dawn. LL diss Ice-T, Hammer, and Kumo D on the same record.
They each had
a verse, you know?
Yeah.
And if you look at Kumo D's record cover, he got a Kango parked under the tires of his Jeep.
Right.
You know who that's for.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, cats been going back and forth. back and forth for a long time.
Right.
Yeah, these battles went on forever, but nobody was shooting at each other over these records.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because we got to talk about who revolutionized battle rap or battling on wax.
On wax?
Yes.
Revolutionized?
Revolutionized. Man, that's I don't know. A big word.
When I think who really stuck the landing, man, like, you know, it was KRS, man. He just, like, you know, he did South Bronx, and then he came back with, golly, the bridge is over. Oh, the bridge my is goodness. Over.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a monster.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, those, ooh.
Well, you know, so that was the start. But when I say revolutionize, I'm talking about it existed before and after. It almost gave birth again, like that child. Oh,
who brought it back was Nas and Jay-Z.
Who
give it to
you
me?
You gotta give it to him, man.
Who?
Donald Trump, Tupac Shakur.
Tupac Trump. Nah, hey, that was some battle rapping right there.
Listen, man, we still see it right now.
Now,
this murder music of today that we discussed, that drill and all this other stuff. But if Tupac didn't drop Hit 'Em Up, we might not see that version of hip-hop/rap.
Yeah, I think that was the step over the line right there.
I mean,
that's like, when things went.
Yeah. All the way
arguably
left.
Too far, you know, and there have been some pretty rough things said,
right
over time,
but that was when that dropped. Bad. I mean, I remember the first time I heard that, and what I had to rewind it right. 4 bars in, and he was just talking like mm-hmm. for, like and every bar after that was just the most. It was he spit in his face.
You know what? I think here's the deal. All those other battle raps, you could tell that people were trying to be. You could feel the artistic side of it.
Yes.
When you listen to that one, all I heard was hate.
That's it.
All I heard was pure hatred. It didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like that song didn't feel artistic. It didn't make me want to dance.
Right.
Nothing.
Yes.
And it, you know, and even like, there was nothing even funny. Like, you know, sometimes the disses in the records would be kind of humorous. You know what I'm saying? Like, you better change what come out your speaker. Yeah. You better off talking about the whack Puma sneaker. Come on, you think about that. That's kind of humorous.
Yeah.
And you be like, you know, you look at Shane when the song come on, like, but no. When Tupac dropped Hit 'Em Up, there's nothing funny about this. And when the record come on, you don't look at Biggie and be like, you look like, over there and be like, I'm getting out of the way, because when the bullets start flying, I don't want to be standing here.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Like, bro, you ain't going to do nothing.
Right. Right. That wasn't art. That was hatred.
It was no coming back.
Oh yeah, that was pure hatred, man. Like we, you know, and that's not the essence of the battle rap right there.
No,
that is a problem with you.
Drake, dropped Back to Back.
Yeah, that was the biggest
record.
Back to Back was
of
dope.
All time ever.
What? Back to Back?
When I say the biggest. Bro, it was on the playlist, playing in the club on rotation. I don't think any diss track.
You know what's
has
funny?
Ever,
I forgot who he was dissing on that record.
Meek Mills.
Oh, okay.
I don't think
that's how important that beef was. Like the song was dope, and I loved the song, but I don't even remember who he was talking to.
It was straight because it's such a club banger. Bro, you could play Back to Back right now,
man. That beat was fire.
Yes.
Ooh.
Mm. Yes. And it was a diss track. That's why I say that's probably the biggest diss track ever.
And that's good battle rap right there though.
Yes.
Like, you know, they're not swinging on each other, shooting at each other. You know, right. it's on wax.
Drake stayed away from Meek Mill after he dropped that joint though. I know that much. You know, I know. He wasn't stupid.
Yeah. So, but it wasn't even just rap. When people started bringing the battles onto their albums,
yes,
it wasn't just the rap side. Like, even the DJ, like the way that the DJs used to battle back and forth, every group that had a DJ in it would give one track, entire track, to their DJ.
Okay.
You know, so they could show what they can do too.
Yes.
Like Eric B and Rakim. You had Eric B, what was the name of that song? Arithmetic or something. Chinese Arithmetic.
Okay.
Then you had Gangstar, DJ Premier, Deep Concentration. Just DJ Premier. DJ Premier is in Deep Concentration. And he's just cutting up, you know.
Right.
So this is, you know, saying my DJ. Mm-hmm. Listen to my DJ.
Right.
You know, and every now and then somebody say something about somebody else's DJ. Now your DJ's.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it goes back to KRS-One, you know.
Having this conversation made me think about J. Cole's Dreamville. Because Dreamville, and just hearing our conversation, is almost like the essence of hip-hop. Because you got stage A and stage B. It's probably a football field length.
Have two people on at the same time?
No, they might cross over at the end of the set when the other stage is being set up or whatever, but not at the same time. And I saw, I forgot the young boy's name, but when he started his set, I think Moneybagg Yo had gone over. So they were playing at the same time. And when he started his set, you could just walk up to the stage. Because so many people were down there with Moneybagg Yo.
Right.
But before that, they would give you time. Like, they would have two or three on stage A. Then they'll have two or three on stage B back and forth. So you migrating back and forth. But just hearing this, I was like, that would be so dope if they had both acts going at the same time. But you know how ignorant we are. So it wouldn't just end at Dreamville. Now I don't like this because
I was on stage and he started playing the music all loud. His sound man cut his stuff up early. Somebody be over there shooting the sound man.
Yeah.
You know, all this, like, other crazy.
Not at Dreamville, but, you know, just generally speaking. Because as far as I know, since the inception of Dreamville, nothing has happened except once. And the girl.
They keep it.
Yeah, the girl got raped, quote unquote raped, but she left Dreamville with the guy that she met at Dreamville.
Oh, right.
And he just threw her in the woods and had his way with her, according to what I know of it. Like, it's kind of messed up. It happened.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's messed up that she left Dreamville to go be with this lowlife.
Right.
High-ass tickets.
Hey, it's a festival. It's not a concert. It's a festival. It's a festival. Something different.
Yeah.
Yep. But you know, the funny thing is that after we watched battle, you know, battle rappers were some of the dudes who battled in the street were really some of the first guys to make records too.
Okay.
Like, these dudes that we heard in the golden age of hip hop.
Yes.
They battle all the time.
Right.
So you remember I talk about that polish that you don't hear with guys now? Like, these dudes are battling face to face.
Yes.
Off the dome, stuff they've written, adding, bringing, you know, putting pieces in, taking pieces out, talking about what's going on. So they were seasoned veterans by the time we heard them on wax.
Right.
And today it's funny that battle rap, the dudes that we hear on the radio don't really participate in a whole lot of battle raps like that.
I'm going to shoot up your mama house.
Right. But the type of diss tracks they make is more like hit 'em up.
Yes.
Than than more like hit them up than the bridge is over.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yes.
And
you barely hear that now.
And guys who are battle rappers don't really make songs anymore.
They can't. I don't want to hear a battle rapper on a track.
Well, they Myrtle Mook. And that's kind of sad that it got to that point, because that's all we used to hear.
Yeah.
Was dudes who could take it to the streets.
Right.
But they could also walk in the studio. Like, you know, Kumo D, he'll battle rap you, but shoot, man, he'd been part of a group.
Yeah.
Treacherous 3, and he had a solo career.
Right.
Busy B, been listening to Busy B since the beginning of this.
Right.
You know?
But those guys have that. Step in the beat,
you commit suicide.
That album mentality or hit mentality when they go into it. Most of the battle rappers that I see, like,
there was a separation from studio artists and a battle rapper. They became separate.
Oh yeah,
at
absolutely.
Some point in the game.
Yeah. But what I'm saying, the battle rappers of yesterday,
you could tell Meek Mill is a battle rapper.
That's where he started from.
Yeah, all over him.
All over
him. All over him. But that's why he came in with so much polish.
Right.
Coming from the mean streets of Philly, and anybody who wants some can get some on this here microphone.
Right, like Biggie.
Right, Biggie could face to face Harlem Wu-Tang dudes.
Right. Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, definitely. Yeah. Definitely one. Yeah. You know?
To this day, I think Jay-Z will smoke any battle rapper out there.
Eminem.
What?
Eminem is probably, you know, Eminem, Jay-Z. Like, these are the last of the battle rappers who can also go in the studio.
Right.
And make music. Like, the rest of those cats that are still participating in those face-to-face events like that are not known for their records. And I remember...
But you'll get a Papoose.
Jen, I think. Jen and Cannabis.
Right.
Are the last two that I remember that the label said, hey man, these dudes are great at battle rap.
Uh-huh.
We're gonna give them opportunities.
Right.
And it just didn't work out.
The dopest battle rapper that I've ever seen, and it's unfortunate. I think they just didn't know what to do with this guy, because if the right people get behind this guy or anybody, they can give you a hit. You know what I mean? Like they can manufacture you a hit.
Oh, another battle too. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Blind Fury.
Yeah, say he'll put that work on you. But you know what? They probably could make a hit out of him. But you just gotta wonder.
I think a lot of times
what's missing was the hooks back in the day. Because like these dudes don't work on hooks, so they spend all their polish is about the verses.
That's what I'm saying.
And they don't ever quite have the hooks.
Manufacture the hit for him.
But I forgot about one form of battles that I left out, and I cannot do a disservice.
Graffiti.
I'm not even thinking about that. I'm thinking about the beatboxers.
Oh, yes.
That used to be huge, too. Like, you know, like Dougie Fresh.
But do you think that Human Beatbox,
all these cats. Of course it did. I've been in several beatbox battles.
Okay.
You'd be face to face spitting all on each other.
Right.
You got your hand up to your mouth to keep the spit from going all over.
Yeah.
You'd be just, you know, like dudes would battle.
Right.
Beatbox battles happened, right? It was short lived. But I think it lasted longer in New York. You know, a lot of times by the time the rest of the country's doing, New York is almost tired of it.
Yeah.
You know, or not tired of it, but it's been going on for years by the time the rest of the country got on it.
Yeah.
So by the time we heard Human Beatbox and Dougie Fresh and DMX and all the Biz Markie, like they had been doing this for a while already.
Yeah.
Like before I heard 1212, like Biz already dropped the joint with Shantae.
Okay.
You know?
Right.
So he was her beatbox. You know, wasn't it like before dudes had DJs, or not before, but the same time dudes had DJs, they had beatboxes too.
Right.
Because the DJ needs turntables, electricity, and speakers, and a mixer.
Right.
But
beatbox
when it's time to go, you got the dopest beatbox along with the dopest rapper.
Right.
And come on, man.
I wonder if that part of Roxanne Shanté's story on Netflix is true. That the guys she went on tour with, didn't want to break bread with her. So they left her in the middle of the tour. And Bismarck, he was like, yo, I got you. So, hey, what you mean? You got some equipment? No, I don't got no equipment.
I got these. But I got these lips.
Yeah. And he beatboxed for her, and that's what started a relationship with them.
Right, man. It's real. Like, yeah. You know, that was part of the battle element, too. And now today, you know, you don't hear the DJs going back and forth. You know, you can always catch a DJ contest. But beatbox, and there are still places where dudes beatbox. Like, you think about it, Rozelle got a contract off how good he could beatbox.
Right. Was he the one on the Sprite, or was that Biz Markie?
That was Rozelle.
It was Rozelle, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Rozelle was dope. Right. You know, right. If you get a chance, go listen to Rozelle do Aaliyah, If Your Girl Only Knew.
Oh, I know, he kill it.
Oh, man.
That's a beatbox.
Beatboxing.
Yeah.
While he's singing, If Your Girl Only Knew. And, like, but the beat is going.
Right.
And he's singing. I can't even imitate it.
Yeah.
It was dope. You know what I'm saying? But one of the first people I heard sing along while they're beatboxing was Biz Markie. Mm. What goes up, bust, come down. He killed that.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Right. Then you got Dougie Fresh and Buffy, Human Beatbox. Uh-huh. They had sounds. They made sounds that other people hadn't really thought about.
You were about to say Buffy the Body. I'm like, she ain't.
Nah. But, you know, that element is gone, too. You know, you don't hear much beatboxing anymore. Unless you specifically search it out, and it's, you know.
Yeah.
But there are beatbox contests still going on.
Man, I knew a 12-year-old, my little guy, that will beatbox you under the table right now.
Hey, I believe it.
He just turned 12 and he beatboxed. I was like, what the fuck he get this from?
I believe that because I am not, I don't have any practice in the past 30 years beatboxing anything.
Nah, it just surprised me that a 12-year-old was into beatboxing.
Hey, man.
Hey, where the hell you get this from?
Still some dudes who are really good at it. Still a whole bunch out there.
Yeah.
Y'all pardon me for one second. I got to open the bar up one time.
Let's put it all out there.
Yeah, huh? I'm going to put it all out.
Tell everything.
Sir, would you like some soda?
Yes, sir. I'll take a squeeze.
Oh, here's one I forgot about.
What's that?
It's a Bacardi. Hey, there it is.
You keep that shit. I need to go home.
But, yeah, so back on the battle. The battle raps. Face-to-face battle raps turn to diss records. Diss records turn into murder raps.
Right.
And now here we are today. Like, that's when the dudes, you know, the dudes took it into murder raps. But what we have now is the girls are dissing each other. They're making diss records. And it's starting to go back a little bit to the essence of, like, the KRS-LL days.
Right.
The way they're going back and forth, like Nicki Minaj and Megan Thee Stallion.
Right. Bigfoot.
Going at each other. That Bigfoot song, that was so
hip-hop.
So hip-hop.
I hear a lot of people giving flack to the track, and I always say to people, like, but you got to think about who is going at who. Like, basically, you got a top 40 artist going at a top 40 artist. You're not going to get true hip-hop essence other than the only part that's hip-hop, that's of hip-hop essence, is the part that they're going back and forth. But everything else about it is top 40s.
Yeah, they're just trying to make a song, too.
Yeah, and then, you know, just trying to make the next person look bad versus shaming their skills. Because,
Nicki was the essence back in the day, too, though. It wasn't even just about, you know, just about your skills. They're going, you know. Like, well, shoot, think about what KRS said about Shantae.
Back in the day,
Shantae is only good for static.
It was about I can out rap you. It still was out. I can out rap you. Versus some of the stuff we hear now, I'm just gonna be straight.
LL told Ice-T that he took the record cover straight home to the bathroom, and you know what that was a reference to? Because Ice-T had his wife Darlene on the album cover in a bathing suit.
Yes.
Looking thicker than a Snickers.
You know, I thought that was a girl at first. I don't know why I thought that was who is his wife.
Who, Coco?
Yeah.
Coco's white.
I know, but, you know, only thing I remember was a yellow bone.
Yeah, nah, Darlene, well, she wasn't black. She was, like, kind of Asian. She might have been mixed with some kind of Asian, but she was way browner than Coco.
You know, absolutely.
No, yeah, and she had that natural thickness. That was, like, you know, there's no BBLs on that cover.
Right.
But, you know, like, LL didn't just talk about dudes couldn't rap. He was getting at everything.
Yeah, but he was at the end of the day, he was trying to out rap him.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
You know,
no doubt.
That's what I'm saying. Nowadays, if you hear a diss track, they ain't trying to out rap. They just trying to be as disrespectful as possible.
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. Like when the Tupac record came out, it was mean.
Absolutely.
In a different kind of way. Not like the other stuff wasn't mean.
Rage.
That it was rage and hatred.
Yes.
And that turned into a trend, like cats dissing each other. Like when you look at Julio Fulio and Young and Ace.
Right.
Like the records they made against each other, that's hate. There's hate in there, you know. Right. Your boy Duck up there in Chicago going with King Von and all them cats.
Yeah,
you know, they going back and forth, like the stuff they're saying to each other is on that Tupac hit 'em up vibe.
Right.
Now we get to these girls today and it's back on the KRS and, you know, it's like, yeah, you said it, but, you know, and Nicki Minaj even went there about the dead mother.
Yeah.
That was too far, but you know Megan Thee Stallion is not going to shoot her over that.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So you don't feel the same element of danger
in
that being said that you did when Tupac opened up with That's Why I Uff Your It You Fat.
Right. That, absolutely.
That was different.
Absolutely.
And I don't feel like anybody's going to get hurt behind Nicki Minaj and Megan Thee Stallion's beef.
No.
You know?
Hell no. Yeah. It's what's your girl? Lotto and Ice Spice going back and forth. Like, you talking about the humor.
Right. And that's one thing that I miss, too. Like,
yeah,
I miss being able to enjoy these songs because they are literally cracking jokes.
Yes.
And when Nicki Minaj said, "Look at Bigfoot," that took me back to a warm place. You know, I was like, "Oh man," I just laughed instead of like, you know, if I see them beefing instead of ducking,
right?
I can stand here and watch this go on.
Yes,
and it's, you know, I miss the humor. You know, like,
right.
You know, it's funny, Nas and Jay-Z felt kind of hateful too.
Super ugly.
Yeah, and
Ether.
Yeah, it didn't feel like, you know, when you just, well, as you listen, it didn't feel,
well,
feel playful.
It kind of did to me, just because
I think Jay-Z sounded more playful than Nas.
I think Ether was playful because, like he said, so you dissing me, Nick?
You? Yeah, right.
Not you. He was sunning him in the
term, right, right.
My NY Negroes say. He was sunning him. Like, what? Like, he was holding his head. Like, he's 6 foot.
And dude was like four feet tall.
Yeah, he holding his head. He's swinging his arm. Like,
you?
Not you.
Right, right. You
know, but Super Ugly went too far. Shouldn't have dropped it, in my opinion. It wasn't right for the time and for them.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, you know, Jay-Z's kind of admitted that too. He's like, you know, that's why it was just a diss track though.
Right.
You know, they
right.
Nothing is however we feel about those records.
Yeah.
Nothing was said in those records that they couldn't get past.
Except I left the condoms on your baby. Nah,
he got past that.
I know he did.
You see what I'm saying?
Millions always help you get past. And then the track they dropped after that together was called what? Black Millionaires or something?
Yeah. Or
so
was it Black Millionaires or which one had? What the black? Who was on Black Republicans? Was that Jay-Z and Jeezy?
Jeezy.
Nas wasn't on that, was it?
No.
Kanye was on that, wasn't he? I don't remember. Yeah, don't start me to lie.
Yeah.
I've heard a million songs since then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I appreciate some of today's the girls dissing each other because it's humorous.
Ice Spice got a track called Fart.
Right. You think you're the ish? You ain't even a fart. Like, I mean, we back on, you know, I hate to say it, dissing is fun, but we back fun.
Right.
You know, let's get some comedy in here. Let's crack some jokes. Yeah. You know, it goes back to playing the dozens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that we've all done, and the diss record's starting to sound like people just cracking on each other again.
Should we Scarface diss 50 Cent? What was the track, man?
Speaking of 50 Cent. Like, when he did I Smell Pussy.
Or How to Rob.
The beginning of the I Smell Pussy. Is that you, Ja?
But that was after How to Rob. How to Rob got 50 Cent. A lot of beef.
But you know, that wasn't even a diss record, though. He wasn't dissing any of those people except for Missy. He said, you put the hot dog down. Like, she should have taken that personal.
He said, pun, snatch his chain and run.
Yeah, how you gonna catch me? Right. Yeah. But
it still was humorous.
And then since there's no previous beef with these people, it's just, you know, it's a fun, it's almost a novelty record. Right. Instead of people taking it personal, they should have taken it for what it was.
Right.
A true novity record. You remember the mad rapper? He was actually on there. Now I'm talking about there's a dude named Mad Rapper.
Right.
And he was one of Puffy's producers too. I can't remember his real name. But you know, that was his persona.
Yeah.
When he was rapping. But the Mad Rapper was just, you know, just being novelty joints, you know. Yeah. And How to Rob was, it was a novelty record. Dudes took it personal though, because you're in New York where people will do that. And might have been somebody sitting around saying, you know, I never thought about Rob a rapper.
Yeah.
But
everybody in the city.
Right, everybody in the city. You just reminding them. But you know, it's not like rappers won't get robbed anyway.
Right.
But man, I love the girl raps. Hey, JJ Fad, when they did Shantae on It's Going Down. One of my favorite diss records of all time. That's hands down one of my favorites. And not a lot of people even heard it. Uh-huh. Ice Cube, No Vaseline. Like, man, that record is hilarious.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That record's hilarious, man.
And what was the Common track?
Common on The Bitch in You.
The Bitch in You.
He made, that was funny too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Funny.
Scarface did Snitch Nigga.
Oh.
It's 50 Cent.
You know what? I don't even remember what they were beefing about.
I can't remember either. I just remember that track was about 50 Cent, though.
Right.
Yeah. And then I threw that out there so we won't spend too much time talking about New York.
You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, people in the South get along better. How many diss records were really coming out of the South to somebody else in the South that made noise like that?
It went T.I. and Lil Flip, Gucci and Jeezy.
Oh, Gucci
and T.I. Who else? Somebody else. I'm trying to. Pimp C has started dissing the whole East Coast because he was mad at New York City.
Right.
And I come to Atlanta. I gotta change my time. You niggas ain't in the South.
You know, did you know that Pimp C started not to get on? He was not gonna get on Big Pimpin.
He ain't like Jay-Z
over there, Tupac.
That's why he only dropped 8 bars.
You know?
And then Jay-Z had to come back and do another verse to fill in the space.
Mm.
Yeah. But rumor has it, Jay-Z had changed his verse after hearing Bun and Pimp on that South beat.
Pimp C just murdered that.
Man, did he.
You know?
Pimp C ain't like nobody, though, man. Even Jeezy. He ain't like Jeezy.
He didn't.
Nah.
Yeah.
Pimp C had a problem with Young Jeezy.
And then you have your straight up battle diss records or whatever.
Right.
You got your battle raps. But then you got those veiled disses where like Megan Thee Stallion and his song.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that was a total and complete diss to Nicki Minaj. She threw some shade in that song.
Yes.
But the whole song wasn't about her. So I don't even count where they just throw some shade. Nicki Minaj is a full blown diss record.
Absolutely. And when I first heard the Meg joint, and then I read what was supposed to have been about Nicki, I said, well, that's left up to interpretation.
Yeah, yeah, you got it. Okay. You got it. If you got to sit and think about it and go find the spot and listen, and then it make me wonder, like, if you're taking it personal, it's like,
But she said, what she say, a hit dog will holler. A hit dog will holler. She said,
and then the Megan's club. Law thing, too, you know, that's the part that I'm talking about. Right, right. Yeah, but
that's the part.
But, you know, at the end of the day,
yeah,
you know, you take it how you take it.
Right.
But when somebody give you a whole record,
yeah, straight on you calling your name. Did she call her name? I don't think she called it. Yeah.
Look here, Bigfoot.
You can hit Megan Ross.
She refused. She refused to even put her name in the title. Right. I'm going to use what I call you in the title. Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. But we're just at the beginning of this, so watch over the next year or two. There's gonna be a wave of this.
Well, I think it's already happening. It just hasn't happened to somebody big enough.
But like you said, Ice Spice, Lotto, Nicki Minaj, Megan Thee Stallion,
Cardi B in the midst of this.
Cardi B. You know, give it time. They'll all do their tracks.
Yeah. They've been doing them. It's just been subliminal.
But you know, could this secretly be a good thing though? For hip hop, you know, like hip hop has gotten so far away from everything that it started as.
Yep.
Here goes one element that's creeping its way back into the game.
I was so happy to hear that Nicki responded to what she thought was about her from the Megan track.
Right.
I've been waiting because you know how high I hold Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, right, in the echelon. That's your girl.
Yes. I said, I can't listen, bro. They said it was supposed to drop at 3 o'clock. 8 o'clock. That motherfucker dropped at midnight. 4 a.m. I was listening. I had to get me a nap. I waited to hear this, and I was not disappointed from the first time to the 35th time that I listened to it. Remember I even told you when everybody else was saying, man, this ain't it, in the words of Charlotte, this ain't it. I'm like, man, you is crazy. This is hip hop.
Yeah, it is hip hop.
That's rap.
If it's nothing else,
that's rap.
It's hip hop. You know what we've been listening to rap and doing rap for a long time. And some hip hop is going on right now. I'm
waiting for the next person to diss somebody and make them rap.
You remind me to go back and give Drake and Meek Mill some credit for keeping that beef hip hop. That back to back. Meek Mill got him too.
His
record wasn't as good as back to back. That was the end of it. And also, I got to give credit to dudes who know when the battle's over. Like, yo, back to back. I'm sorry, back to back was ether. It's the end. Now, it don't matter what you say.
And you see it. The song was just too good for him to drop again.
Yeah,
this dude said, I don't want to hear about this ever again. Even when you tell your girl we better as friends. Even when your girl tell you better as friends.
Right.
Is that your girl? Is that your world tour? Or your girl tour?
Right. It was just great, great, great. Hip hop is back, y'all.
Yes.
And who would have thought the thing to bring it back
was the women.
Was the women.
Right.
And true hip hop diss records.
Absolutely.
Because you're not getting no more cutting and scratching. Who's next? No more beatboxing, no more face to face. Like, you know, Drake and Jay-Z not going to come together on stage and battle rap. All that is over. But what we do get.
Yes. Is these
that reminds tracks. You of back in the day is these diss tracks. And I'm loving it right now.
So, Rhapsody, you need to draw a 50 page memoir. It should be called. Well, you know what? Diss every female out there.
If Rhapsody did a song dissing everybody,
Rhapsody.
I hate to say just to make some noise.
Do Kendrick Lamar?
If she did,
yes. Do what Kendrick did.
The industry would be on notice.
Call them out.
I think that might be a way. You know, you always say why did Rhapsody never go mainstream? Well. If she come out calling these chicks out that's walking around here in thongs with BBLs, dancing on stripper poles, and she come out here with just her regular clothes on, she can have a baseball cap, and her regular clothes,
and
just grab the mic and spit bars and tell all these girls about themselves.
Just imagine if Rhapsody had dropped role models instead of J. Cole. I think she would immediately
be on top of the game.
Suppose Rhapsody had dropped role models instead of J. Cole.
Mm. I mean, suppose she had dropped Girls and Players too. It don't. I mean, you say any right. record, you know.
Right.
But
right.
I'm just saying that would be, well, you know, that would be
Role Models by J. Cole is exactly what you're talking about. That's why I said that. You know what I'm saying? It's all about what you're tired of seeing. And,
right,
you know,
right.
The hot, I guess the most polarizing line that Kendrick Lamar is going to be a part of his legacy is when he said he's tired of the Photoshop. Give me some right. girls with the naturals.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? They killed him for that.
Right. We don't want to see that. You know, right. like, you don't, like, and everybody thinks that that's what dudes want. That's what girls want.
That's what they want.
Right.
Right. And how, it's if funny. They want it, we got to want it.
I tell my wife all the time, you do all the extra stuff for whatever girl is there because you look good to me. I don't care right. if your nails are done.
Bruh.
You know, next I mean, you look good. In. Everything you got on looks good to me. Like, if you think it ain't good enough, it's because you worried about what some girl gonna say about it.
Next time y'all go somewhere, you look at every woman that comes in eye contact with you and your wife, and see, don't they? Because I ain't gonna just put it on a woman in the room. Don't they look at each other up and down? Not mm-hmm. even they not pay attention even maliciously. To each You know what I'm saying? It ain't always because they hating on each other. No, they pay attention to each other.
Right.
Like, I've been sitting across from you for 56 minutes now. I don't know what kind of shoes you got on.
I don't know what kind of shoes you got on either. I was just thinking that. Like, I could not tell you what kind of shoes. I don't even know what color. You sit behind a desk. Pants. I don't know what color your right. pants are.
If we were two women... Oh, yeah. I saw your shoes. You doing that, bitch.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? All
right.
of that.
Right. Like, or he's just going to come in here in them shoes. They don't even go in their pants.
Come on, bro. You already know. So you know why they do it. And, you know, so I got some feedback today about the pod.
Word.
Bruh, every time, this is from the feedbacker. Mm-hmm. All right,
all right.
Shout out my boy Bizzle. But he said, bro, every time y'all get deep into the conversation, y'all end it.
Hey, you know what? And now I was just thinking, it's probably about time to wrap this one up.
So
we just trying to keep you want more, that's all.
So we gotta keep to tradition.
Yeah. Yep. Here it is. Hey, listen. Battle raps are back. Diss records are back. So, by default, hip-hop is back.
Right.
And the women are bringing it. But we always say, man, the women been carrying the torch for a while now. So, it's only right and natural for them to be the ones to be bringing. I tell you what, I need one of them to bring a DJ.
Man.
Out on stage. You know, and not just to travel with you on tour.
Right. But
to...
Be a part.
Right, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be a part of this.
Yes.
Nicki Minaj and DJ Pink Toes. I don't care what it is. Like.
So I saw, and I don't know how I missed this, Remy Ma and Rhapsody on a DJ premiere.
Now,
track.
Remy Ma has done some battle. Rod Digger.
What?
Will battle you.
Yes. Rod Digger, but is Rod Digger a female MC or just a
Rod
MC?
Digger just got married.
Or is she just an MC?
You said female MC. I thought you were implying something.
No. Is she a female MC or is she just an MC?
Well, like, you know.
MC, man.
Rod Digger can, like, I think that there's certain females that you feel like there's no reason to call them female MCs because you know they can step up and hang with whoever.
And you said both, though.
But I don't feel like rap is one of those things, like, that just because you're a girl means that you're not gonna, that you at some disadvantage. Like, Shantae holds her own with the best of them. So
Shantae, Rod Digger, Remy.
MC Light, like, all of them.
And Nicki Minaj, man.
Yeah, Nicki Minaj, they can hold their own.
Foxy.
So, right. Yeah. So there's no need to categorize them.
Right. Right.
You know, I think the category.
I got a compliment for female MCs from you.
Hey, man, what are you talking about? I never said nothing bad about female MCs.
You just don't mention them.
It's not many. Like, everybody's so new. Like running the game now, I've already talked about the ones that...
In your top five, and this is true of most guys, the top five, they list two old MCs, but they never mention Roxanne Shanté.
You know why I'm certain, and it's not because they're females. It's because no female artist has been able to put up the body. Like, when we start talking about top fives and all of this stuff, you usually, the people whose names end up on those lists have a body of work that spans over so long. And you can't, you know, it's not many women that have put out 10 years of work. You know, like, we start talking about, ooh, Jay-Z, Nas. Yeah, those always suit the first two names, right?
Yeah.
Well, man, they got 20 years of work.
Yeah, 30.
For you to 25 years.
Yeah, right.
What female artist can you think of that you can follow their career for 25 years or even 10 years straight? MC Light did a 10-year run.
Nicki Minaj got a 10-year run. Nicki Minaj on 15, 20 years.
Right. And
she's new, but still.
And, you know, and she's really good.
And we didn't talk about her when we talked about longevity either. We talked about Drake.
But you know what? When we made the longevity episode, she was on hiatus. And she's kind of back. She's
still featuring, man. But like I said,
how long had it been since she made her own project at that time when we did that episode? It was almost like she was semi-retired.
3 years, 4 years.
Right.
Shit. Biggie had a 3-year break between Ready to Die and Life After Death, and we didn't say nothing about that.
Yes, 3 years.
Did. Think about it.
No.
Ready to Die came out in 93.
No, it wasn't 93.
The first one came out in 93.
Nope, it was 94. I'm certain of that.
I ain't no betting man, but I will bet you Biggie, Ready to Die, the first version came out in
94.
I will put that on. What you got? Who you got for the Super Bowl?
Hey, I remember when Ready to Die came out. I know that was 94.
Look it up. 93.
Released September 13th, 1994. I'm positive. Like, there's no doubt about that. Like, okay. Yeah, I
maybe I first heard of Biggie in 93.
Like on the
mixtape circuit.
He might have put out a single before the album dropped. Yeah. What was the first time?
One More Chance came out, but way before the album dropped.
No, it wasn't One More Chance. It was Juicy and Unbelievable, but he had been on something else.
Where was he on Grand Poobah?
You mean Mary J. Blige's joint?
No, Grand Poobah was the first joint he was on. That was the first introduction to Biggie when he was up there with a young Puff. What year was that?
Let me see.
Nas dropped in 93. The second one.
Yeah, it was 3 years.
It was 3 years in between those two. Yeah, it definitely was 3 years in between those two.
Right.
Yeah, so.
So that was, you know, that's still a nice long time.
Yeah, it was a real long time.
Yep, but during those 3 years, you're right, he did the same thing Nicki did. Features, and more features.
And touring.
And he was never... There was never a time when he wasn't important, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when you think about it, I'm sitting here talking about the longevity of the people that folks put on top of the list, but Biggie was on top of the list too, and he only had 4 years.
Only had put out two albums.
Yep. Tupac. Some people put Tupac on the list, and, you know.
Tupac had what?
First 10 time albums. You heard Tupac was what, 91, 92?
Tupac had 10 albums out when he died, right? Was six.
If My Homies Call.
Well, yeah, and,
same song happened in, what, 91, 92?
Yeah, real
so,
early. Right.
And then he's dead in 96. It's only 4 or 5 years.
Right.
You know?
Damn.
But the rap game wasn't so saturated either.
Right.
You only got what the record labels gave you. You know what? And speaking of that last subject that we did about the girls, we're gonna talk about that on another show. We're going to expand that.
Gotcha.
Because that was a good start, but that could turn into another hour real easy.
Absolutely.
So we're going to give you a chance to end this one.
Okay.
And then maybe the next one we'll pick up and we'll talk about these girls that DL says, I don't get no proper respect to.
Okay.
And I'm going to give them their flowers.
All right. I'm gonna absolutely hold you to that. That's what's up.
Because yeah, I can't even make the longevity argument if people put Biggie and Tupac on there.
Uh huh.
You know, but is Nicki Minaj one of the greatest of all times?
In my opinion.
I know what your opinion is, okay. But we're gonna leave it at that.
Okay.
Hey, keep battling. Hip hop is back in full swing. It's Capital City Podcast. I'm your host, Capital J, alongside my main man,
DL Glass.
We'll see you next week. Hear us on all podcast platforms. Anywhere you stream your podcast, we're there.